to Follow the Money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Holly Howard.
Top of the morning to you. We are live in Las Vegas from the South Point Sportsbook inside the VSiN studio. Mitch Moss, Holly Howard with you for the next 3 hours as we react to week three in the NFL today, some college football, NBA, Major League Baseball on the docket as well. We'll look ahead to week four in the NFL, opening line moves in college football as well. On the program in an hour, we do have Michael Lombardi on the show. And a final segment of today's program, Nick Bogdanovich to recap yet another wild weekend in the National Football League, one in which Chalk went 8-6 ATS yesterday. Overs the story yet again, especially early, 9-5 on the day. Early, though, 7-1. The only game, of course, that did not go over somehow, some way, the Eagles-Bengals game in overtime. Amazing. And last night's game, what a way to wrap this up, huh? Like 12 hours of football, 10, 12 hours of football every single, you know, Sunday. And that game, thrilling to the end. Packers winning outright 37-30 as one of the dogs yesterday. So they get the money. The total goes way over the total. You know, that number came all the way down to 3. The look-ahead line was 6.5. It's funny. All I heard was people betting the Saints. That's all I heard. People making the case for New Orleans last night. Great spot for this team. Terrible spot for Green Bay. And Green Bay eventually, you know, playing those two weak teams in the first 2 weeks of the season, going to come back and bite them in the ass. Didn't last night. And I am very alarmed with Drew Brees now that we're 3 weeks in.
Oh, yeah.
And I just looked this up, Holly, before the show. This is absolutely nuts. So people are going to look at the overall numbers last night and say, well, look at overall. Pretty good, right? A lot of yards throwing the football, 8.0 yards per attempt. Alvin Kamara right now is second in the NFC with 27 catches. He's fifth with 285 yards. Take a guess how many of those 285 yards are yards after the catch.
90%?
283.
My God. It's infuriating to watch that I tweet. It's like, hey, Green Bay. It's a dump off to Kamara, or it's a 7-yard, 5-yard pass over the middle. Every single time. What are you doing? Make an adjustment. He can't. And they put those numbers up in the second quarter. It blows your mind how everything is short with Breeze, and he can't
get
anything down the field. And the Packers don't make an adjustment. But Rodgers is locked in. So everything you just said, the quarterback play has been tremendous. The other great tweet from Jason Logan, covers.com. So far, early games, 81% to the over. The late games, 82% to the under. And it's very difficult to bet in play unders, period. And then, look at how the Raider game exploded. Look how the Cincinnati game exploded. Well, then get over. But that, you know, that's like, 6-3 in the sec, something like that in the second quarter. And likewise with the Raider game. And the thing just explodes. But the quarterback play with Wilson and what Dak's doing, and Rodgers has 9 touchdowns and no interceptions. There are 3 teams that are 3-0 in the NFC. Green Bay, Seattle, and of course the Bears, who somehow went again and pulled that out. But it's incredible. Great action yesterday. I know Peyton said, you know, we can't kid ourselves. We have a lot of issues right now as they sit there in 1-2, and they have some tough games coming up. But great job by Rodgers. He is locked in. And somehow they keep winning games without Adams, if you go back and look at it, all the games he's missed. So you're right. I like the Saints in that spot. I thought they'd win. But the great job by Rodgers.
No.
Tremendous.
Outstanding. And by the way, so we are really now seeing this like 3 weeks into the season in some spots. Typically in a Saints game, a primetime game in New Orleans, those fans are going to be so loud. Whenever can you recall a quarterback going there and dictating with the snap count and getting that team to jump off sides?
Yeah.
That never happens in New Orleans. Why would it? Because the crowd's going to be so loud.
Did he have the exacta there? He got him to jump off sides, and then the PI.
Got him both.
Yeah.
So, and he's the master at both of those, right? Once the guy comes off sides, he's the best quarterback I've ever seen, you know, getting a guy off sides. But once they actually commit that penalty, forget about it. With an open play, he's so good at that. But that, I mean, you could hear that clear as day on the broadcast. I mean, that's so a team like this at home in week one, yes, they handled the Buccaneers. But last night, without the fans, they missed them. The Vikings dropped 0-2 at home. Seahawks so far, they've won a couple at home, but they've both been very, very tight games. And their defense, you know, look, I mean, Russ is going to have to be Superman every single. He's got 14 touchdowns after 3 games, which is an all-time record. But he's going to have to do this like every single week, and I don't know how sustainable that is.
Probably, yes. That should have been a blowout. They're up 15, and how about Metcalf pulling the DeSean Jackson? What is he doing? That's ridiculous. It's like, you know, there's people chasing you. You don't stop at the 5-yard line and hold the ball out like Leon Lett. What was he doing?
And welcome into the program today. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard, recapping week 3 of the NFL, touching on the Seahawks-Cowboys game. That's why it was so egregious. That's why that's an all-time bad gaffe by Metcalf, and that ties into Leon Lett, because he just got by Diggs, and he knows he's on his
right
tail.
Right behind him, yeah.
It's not like a guy like Jackson who's running into the end zone, and then he burned everybody by 20 yards, and he drops the ball, assuming he's in the end zone. But, I mean, how does that game unfold if he doesn't do that stupid play?
Yep. And the Dallas defense shouldn't be this bad. I mean, at some point you have to get stops. I don't care what quarterbacks you're going against. That's unacceptable. And the other thing, how about first place 1-2 in that division? The NFC East is a joke. How bad that is, that division is right now. The opposite of the NFC West. But going back to the quarterback play, Peter King had this today. In 2010, there were 6 quarterbacks who had a rating over 95. This year, there's 16.
Oh, man.
16. I mean, these guys are locked in. How great some quarterback play has been so far in the league. And doesn't matter. Foles hadn't played in 10 months. Comes in and lights it up. 3 touchdown passes in 6 minutes, whatever it was. Ridiculous. Great action. And then we got a couple upsets, a couple surprises late. But fantastic games, and it's refreshing that you see these marquee games. Dallas, Seattle lived up to the hype. Green Bay, New Orleans lived up to the hype, and hopefully it happens again tonight with the Ravens and Chiefs.
Oh, we will spend plenty of time talking about that game throughout this 3-hour show today. Don't look ahead to next week's schedule for the primetime game on Thursday night. You might want to look away at that one.
Sunday and Monday, not much better.
Thursday, to your point, stop putting the Jets and Giants on TV.
That's right.
We get Broncos, Jets. Yeah. I think I might go to bed early that night.
Yeah.
I'll record the game and watch it before the show, I think is going to be the game plan.
That one's tough.
But just wild action again. You're exactly spot on. Betting, look, I mean, some of these totals, I think I heard something yesterday where the average total in the games yesterday was 48. That was up from week one when the average total was 46. And the week one opening combined total, our totals in the NFL, it's the highest in the history of the league. And so already it was up 2 points from where it was in week one. And so in some of these games, like, I got to tell you, like the Cowboys and Seahawks game, I really wanted to bet that game if it was going to be like over 52, 53, would have been a huge bet. 56, 57 stayed away. But I got to tell you, even if it was 60 or 61, I would not have played the under before the game started. And we're going to have to start seeing some of these games where, depending on matchups, you're going to have to get a 58 or 59, or this could be like 2 years ago, I think it was, the year the Patriots played the Rams, we actually did see a couple of 60s that year. We might get that sooner than later this year in the NFL.
Yeah, especially, probably with the Cowboys too. Yeah, you're right. Great job by the Patriots. It was a good job by Belichick. A lot of people were on the Patriots, and they get the cover. Defense played well with the exception of one of the worst drives I've ever seen under a Belichick coach team right before halftime, where the Raiders went right down the field in 30 seconds for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. It was like the Super Bowl against Seattle. I mean, how does that happen? But the other touchdown was a garbage touchdown late. The running game was – Burkhead was awesome, too. Burkhead was great. Running game was phenomenal and a nice win for the Patriots, and they were fantastic. Wild game, Buffalo – I mean, here's another story about Josh Allen. He's a big story right now with the great quarterback play, but it's 28-3. That game was over, and they have to rally, and I'm sorry, you can't make that call there.
Can't do it.
You cannot call P.I. The wide receiver's barely looking back for the ball. I mean, that's a terrible call that decides the game. Great bounce back by the Rams to at least be down 28-3 and come back and take the lead. But that's... I don't know. Allen was ticked off afterwards. Good for him, saying this can't happen. But that guy's locked in too with another monster game and a bunch of touchdowns. But the controversial finish, and now Buffalo goes to 3-0. But that shut that game off in the third quarter.
Yeah, he was outstanding again yesterday. There was one drive, and I tweeted this out. The drive was all Josh Allen, running, throwing, finding open receivers, putting the ball on a dime. It was great. But I don't understand how. On fourth down late in the game, you're going to be paying attention. Eyeballs are going to be on these receivers where it's the receiver who was initiating contact.
That's right.
He's driving his body into the defender, and the defender is basically putting his arms up like, I'm not touching the guy. I'm not doing anything here. And then he breaks off of him, and they throw the flag. He's like, what can I possibly do? That, to me, is like the Jadeveon Clowney, how that completely changed potentially how that game was going to result, because that was a killer for me. And that was chalky.
Yes.
I know it. But in contests out here, other bets too, the Titans not getting their -2.5. But I think it's going to be a long time before we actually see players not blocking in a spot like that, because Clowney is coming back on the guy, and I don't know how that's a crackback. I guess maybe technically that's in the rule, but his only play there is to avoid the guy. You can't even, like, try to hinder his progress or whatever. You can't get in his way. You just got to be like, I'm sorry, I would like to, you know, maybe score on this pick six here and, you know, create a defensive touchdown, but if I block him, it's going to get called back. Like, And football coaches at the lowest levels imaginable, we're talking, I don't know, 10, 12 years old, at some point they're going to have to teach defenders you can't block. Can't do it. Yeah. And that absolutely sucks.
Yeah. How about the Auburn game? Took away a targeting, but took away a pick six.
And how?
So, and they're looking at it because they thought the guy stepped out of bounds. And they say, by the way, targeting.
Right. So, again, what's that guy supposed to do right there? He takes out two players. To me, totally clean, but maybe that's me being old school football guy and not really embracing the rules. So he's just supposed to allow both guys to go down. And how can they do that, by the way, what you just said? How can you go to replay to see if he's going to be out of bounds or not and say, there's a target though, we got to call that?
The Vikings have a running back go for a .180 and a wide receiver for 175 and they lose the game.
Right.
Great job by Gostkowski too. Six field goals. He wins another one. 51, 54, and 55. Has that ever happened before? He's won all three games for him with a field goal in the last two minutes or less. And they're now 3-0 straight up, but 0-3 ATS.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Look at their margins of victory.
Yeah. Over 90% of the money on William Hill on the Titans, they won but didn't cover again. And that's astonishing. Right. You see the close wins every single week by the Titans. They find a way to do it.
So that's so funny. 0-3 ATS, they've won by 2, 3, and 1 point. So far, the first 3 weeks.
Yeah,
I guess it's better than the Jets because great tweet from Andrew Siciliano, NFL Network. They haven't had the lead in a football game so far this year.
Possible. You were right about Darnold, too. Oh, boy, the interceptions, the picks. So where are you throwing the ball? Come on, young man. Where are you throwing the ball? And the other, the Giants and the Jets, that's a great prop. How many wins will they combine for? Set the over-under there. I mean, what are the Giants now? 1-12 ATS run when they're a home dog? The 49ers have 10 guys out? And you get routed at home?
10 or 11
starters. Season on the line?
Yeah. I mean, that is just all things considered, right? I mean, that is a hell of a job by Kyle Shanahan. You're on the East Coast. You have so many guys get banged up in the previous week against the Jets. A lot of the players are like, I don't want to play in this turf. It's a big deal. They got to go examine it. They stay in West Virginia on the East Coast. You're down 10 or 11 starters in the game, and you thump a team like that 36-9. Without so much talent. I mean, Kyle, awesome job coaching. Great head coach. And another one to your point on Daniel Jones so far this season, turnover machine. Yep. A couple of more yesterday.
So is Haskins.
Yeah, he absolutely is.
I don't know where he's throwing the ball. He accounted for 4 turnovers. Danny Dimes had 170 and an interception and was 17 of 32. And meanwhile, Nick Mullins throws for 343. You know, to me, the whole handicap was Shanahan, and there was going to be a drop-off losing Garoppolo, and the Giants are just atrocious. And so are the Jets. And then, I mean, Washington's in that game. I mean, they could win that game, but Haskins kept turning it over. Yeah. And then you have the Eagles, which I saw your tweets, and you got to think long and hard about a quarterback change. I mean, now you're really – you can't – they had lost 14 in a row on the road. You got a rookie quarterback on the road, and Wentz struggles again, and he continues to turn the ball over. What is going on?
Well, not only the turnovers. I was actually maybe more alarmed by how many passes he missed in general to wide open receivers. I mean, and I think he was getting frustrated with himself. He's got guys going down the sideline that are open by 3-4 yards, hit him in stride. That's going to be a touchdown. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many passes he missed yesterday. That was vile and nasty watching that game.
Yep.
And I do believe Burrow is going to be the real deal. And on the flip side, that is if he's alive by like week 8.
Oh, that too.
Because the offensive line is so atrocious.
Huh? Yep. Brady's back. Great performance by Tampa. They were never threatened in that game. Tommy was 25 of 38 for 300 yards and 3 scores. We said on air, this will be the game the Chargers lose. I guess rule against Lynn's a mismatch. Bad job by me there. But that Herbert did not play well. But that was the typical Chargers. You look great against Kansas City. Should have won the game. And then you lay an egg at home.
Yep.
Huge stink bomb. Great win for Carolina.
And you know what's crazy about that? Is that final play was so beautiful. That was a touchdown. The hook and
line. Oh, I know. That was going to be. Worked beautifully. They had it.
Single Carolina defender was going with Keenan Allen. Yep, that side of the field was completely wide open.
You're exactly right.
And I don't know, the timing of the pitch there was off maybe by half a second or whatever. But if that's.
Well executed.
Yep. That's the game-winning touchdown. Yep. You lose like that.
Yep. Lions saved their season. Bad job by Murray. He had some horrendous interceptions.
Oh, man.
I don't know where he's throwing
the ball. I don't know either.
Yep. Bad job by Murray in Arizona. You got to win that game. Jets, please get out of here. That opened. Wilk headline was 7, closed 12. Route by the Colts. And save the best for last here. How is Dan Quinn still the coach? He needs to be fired immediately. I mean, this can't go on. And I guess you get what you deserve if you're blank and the Falcons organization. Because this guy is a defensive-minded guy. As the guy in the Atlanta, what's his name? Mark Bradley, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, they're the biggest choke artists in the history of sports. They are. Bad enough you blow a 25-point lead late in the third quarter of a Super Bowl. And then you blow back-to-back games when you're up 15-plus with 6 minutes left in the game. Yep. Not once, but twice. It hadn't happened in the same season. What's that tweet from Field Yates? In the last 20 seasons, no team has blown multiple 15-point leads in the fourth quarter of the season. The Falcons did it in back-to-back weeks. It's unacceptable. He has to be gone. I mean, how can this keep happening? How is the defense so bad? And you know what they'll do? They'll do a typical Atlanta thing. They'll get rid of the OC, Cutter. Yeah. Right. Because they abandoned the run in the fourth quarter.
They stopped playing.
Yeah, right, ridiculous. Right. Yep. I mean, this guy cannot be the head coach today. You started 2-7. Somehow you brought him back, and he's kept his job because they rallied late. But this defense is atrocious, and you just cannot blow leads like this.
And back-to-back.
It's 98% win probability.
Yeah. Look at this tweet from Chris Vanini. We've seen 4 99% win probability losses in football over the last 9 days. The Bills were almost number 5.
Yeah.
Look at that. The Navy game coming back against Tulane. Yeah. That was 24-0. They were 99.4% to Tulane in that game. The Falcons in back-to-back weeks, 99.9 and 99.6%. And we had Texas Tech. What happened there against Texas on Saturday? Up 56-41. They couldn't hang on for the lead.
There's another one.
So yep. When you're on that list twice and it happens in a span of 7 days, I don't know how he possibly keeps his job. A couple things here from a betting standpoint. Complete killer. Took me out in contests.
Oh, me.
In numerous contests around town, right? Lane 3.5, by the way. So the contest numbers were bad. Doesn't matter. That the only way, Paulie, we lose that bet is if the Bears make the move from Trubisky to Foles. Game was over with.
Right.
But they did. They great job by Nagy. And now I don't know how it's possible. That organization, no chance that they can. I don't care what the GM says this week. There's no chance you can go back to Mitchell Trubisky. Can't do it.
Nope. It was a great job by Foles. Again, he hadn't played in 10 months and comes out there. And a Robinson sighting. Hey, he's out of jail.
Hey.
Robinson had a huge game. Look, I've been saying it for years. They have weapons.
Yep.
They scored points and moved the ball with Daniel. And I tried to tell Bears fans they're better off with Daniel than Trubisky, and they wouldn't listen.
Right.
Well, now look, this guy comes in, and this guy's a winner. He's a Super Bowl champ. Robinson's out of jail.
So
three beautiful drives. The other one, that's a touchdown. Miller dropped it.
Yeah, right.
On a fourth down play.
So I know you don't play fantasy. I'm in like four leagues this year. I believe I have Allen Robinson in all four leagues. First of all, I love the guy. He's an incredible wide receiver, very underrated. But the reason why I liked him so much, and I was drafting like in the summertime before they made the announcement, is because I said, well, I like him even that much more now because they're going to have Nick Foles on him the football. And now that he's actually, you're right, Foles is going to be, they're throwing him the ball. Great combination there, and how they actually made the move to go with Trubisky to begin the season anyway.
I know.
Disastrous.
Yep.
Trading up for that guy in the first place.
I give Nagy credit. He said it was based on feel, and there was Trubisky with one touchdown over 11 series over two games, and he said that's enough. And he makes the move, and then all hell breaks loose, and they win the game.
Yeah.
And they're 3-0.
I also tried telling people, like, with Nick Foles here, maybe they are a player in that division this year.
Oh, they're good. I mean,
Trubisky, I could never buy in.
No, right. You're exactly right. They have weapons. They have a good defense. And they've won two games when they've been down 16-plus in the fourth quarter. Oh, great. That Bears, unbelievable. How about the Survivors now? Circa Survivor. They took out 120 people this week. 44 on the Chargers, 28 on the Eagles, 23 on the Cardinals, 11 on the Falcons, 11 on Jacksonville. I don't know if these were options or what. One guy had the Saints, one had the Vikings, one had the Rams. Took out a bunch of people. Consensus, 1-4 in the Super Contest, 2-3 in Circa Million. with the top five picks.
And this is the second consecutive week we had news of a major bet on a player prop. So DraftKings took $500,000 on Daniel Jones over 244.5 yards passing.
Come on.
They took $500,000 on that bet. A player actually, I don't know. I don't know the details. They also took $500,000 on the Giants plus four in the game. Of all the games on the betting board, you want to put half a million
never
on that
in
team.
It. Yep, never in it.
Man, oh man.
Ugly.
Oh, and this note too. I watched games here at the South Point yesterday with Chris Andrews, Vinny, and Jimmy Vaccaro. Chris told me that going into the Jets game, so before kickoff yesterday, he already had the Jets as one of the lowest teams in recent memory in his power ratings. Okay. And he just said after the loss, he's like, what do I do with this team now? Like, what do I do?
Yeah, I know.
How much lower can I possibly make them? But after that 36-7 embarrassment again, and now they play Denver on Thursday night, he's like, how bad can they possibly be?
Some of the stuff's infuriating, though. I mean, we're looking at a 4-1 in the contest with the Falcons.
I mean, I know.
Takes you out of last man.
Yeah, last man, same thing, right?
I mean, we're in the running for the quarterly. We get that. We'd still have to go probably a 5-0 Sunday, but still. I mean, there's six figures on
the
line
here. You're in the mix, yeah.
Oh, right. How do you blow that lead again? Oh, right. Ryan's got Ridley wide open, too. He misses it.
Well, that's right. That's right. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, brought to you by Indeed. As they help you find the high-impact hire your business needs fast, you'll find lots of great candidates and no long-term contracts at Indeed.com/high-impact. Monday Night Football, what a game tonight. Great note here on the potential handle on this game in Monday Night Football. I'll give you this nugget from Jeff Sherman coming up next.
If you're in New Jersey, Iowa, or Indiana, PointsBet is the book for football and all your favorite sports. See for yourself with faster bets, withdrawals, and rewards. As always, PointsBet is offering tons of promotions bettors actually care about, like odds and parlay boosters, as well as cash out early options on selected games. Download the PointsBet app today and start betting with 100% deposit match up to $250. Sign up with code VSIN250 and deposit $250 to get an extra $250 in bonus bets. That's VSIN250. Must be over 21. PointsBet, stay sharp. Here we go tonight. I mean, the numbers here are staggering with these two teams. As Peter King broke it down, since November 15th, they're a combined 20-1 straight up, 17-0 in the regular season. Jackson is 21-3 in the regular season, but he's 0-2 against Mahomes. And Kansas City's won 11 in a row, 10-1 ATS. Baltimore's won 14 in a row in the regular season. And these games have been close, too. In 2018, Kansas City won a close game. And last year, they won a close game. 33-28, Mahomes had 374 and three scores. 2018 was an overtime. Mahomes had 377 and two scores. But I would think the game plan here tonight is ground and pound. KC has issues stopping the run, and that's what Baltimore does best, and try to keep Mahomes off the field. But you know, do with this what you want. Harbaugh, since he became the Ravens coach, is 1-4 against Andy Reid. But this is also enormous because remember now, only the one seed gets the bye. So if Kansas City's really up against it if they lose this game because Baltimore's got that easy schedule.
They really do.
And if Kansas City loses, they're two back essentially, and they still have a tough seed. They have to go to Buffalo. They have to come here. They go to Tampa. They go to New Orleans. Baltimore's going to get the one seed if they win this game, in my opinion.
How about the 3.5 now as the number?
Yeah.
As sharps were hitting Ravens minus 3 in this game, and the total is 54.5. Now, going back to the previous segment, talking about how do you bet it under in games, well, I will tell you this. So far in the season, the Ravens defense, they've held both opponents to 16 or fewer points. The Chiefs, they've not given up more than 20. And KC on the road, they are on a 4-0 under run. Ravens at home as favorites, 5-1. Lately to the under. And there was this note from Jeff Sherman. I was asking about the betting handle for the game tonight. He told me yesterday it's probably going to be the highest handle in any Monday night game for the entire season. And he said, keep in mind, that was with unbelievable handle last week with the Raiders playing their first ever home game here in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, God, the props, too. I mean, everyone, Mahomes over, Kelsey over, Hill over, everything over, right.
Right. So if this gets squirrely on the Chiefs right away, like let's say they get down 14-3, 17-7, whatever it is, do they not just automatically start going, okay, Patrick, come on, man, you got to start winning this game for us right now, and it's going to be an aerial circus? That's what I would fear, where it could be maybe a slow played like first quarter, first half, Ravens get out to a lead, and then the Chiefs are just going to be like, okay, you're the Super Bowl MVP, you're the best player in the league, go win us this game. And where they were so good with the run and sticking with Clyde Edwards-Helaire in week one against the Texans, maybe they have to abort that and just, you know, have Mahomes throw 55 times in the game tonight.
I don't think that's going to – he will be able to do it against this defense. Top five defense, they're awesome, right? What they did against Houston last week, very impressive. Yeah, but he's outplayed Jackson in the two meetings, no doubt about it. Passing yards, 751 to 414, and touchdowns, 5-2, even though the games have been close. But this, what a matchup. My God, these numbers. And then Jackson's 21-3 record in the regular season, but to have two of the losses against Mahomes.
Sure.
This is, but I think streaks are coming to an end here, right? This is, it comes in threes. Detroit had lost 11 in a row, finally won a game. Carolina had lost 10 in a row, finally won a game. And now Kansas City's won 11 in a row. I think the Ravens beat them. Comes to an end tonight.
Yeah, guys are banged up tonight here. Ward, the cornerback for the Chiefs, as of right now, questionable. Don't know if Sammy Watkins can give it a go tonight or not. He's questionable, and some guys for the Ravens are also listed as questionable going into the game. But a fascinating matchup. And you're right, could be gigantic for home field later on in the playoffs.
And this is also refreshing. We have two phenomenal kickers tonight. So the special teams are great. So you can count on both of these kickers. This is again, it's out of control with his 50-yard field goal tries,
right,
left and right, and then giving it. And what was Doug Peterson doing, by the way?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out.
What was he doing? He was playing for a 54-yard field goal.
Right.
They never tried to improve the field position and get closer.
And they had.
What was he doing?
They had time to work with, by the way.
Oh, that was so bad. I'm watching. It's like, what is he doing? He wants to settle for a 55-yard field goal.
Boy, stock way down on him.
Oh, he's so bad. That was bad.
How much did they miss Frank Reich at this point?
God, that was so bad.
Up next, college recap and opening line moves for this week. And it's almost like a never-ending loop of insanity with this program. Always highly ranked. And they always disappoint. That's coming up.
Roland Garros underway. You can earn extra boost this week at Bet Rivers. You get a 20% boost on any single bet every day through October 3rd with a maximum bet of $50. Not only that, at Bet Rivers, you can live stream a number of matches and bet live as you watch the French Open. If you haven't tried live betting on tennis, this is a perfect way to try. Take advantage of the great offer, and as always, get a $250 match bonus on your first deposit. One-time playthrough on all bonuses and great customer service at Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. Good college football action, too. Big dogs outright.
Good card on Saturday.
And Mike Leach delivers. Oh, I love that. How would the air raid work in the SEC? Just fine, thank you. 630 yards for Costello. And Mike Leach does something that Dan Mullen did once in his entire tenure in Mississippi State. He won one road game against a top 10 team. Leach did it right off the bat and destroys the national champ.
So that was the only game. Well, that was the game that saved my day on Saturday because it was not going well. Every other bet in college was losing, going down the drain. And on Saturday, just looking more into this game, I'm like, okay, so it is Leach. It is Costello coming over in their first game. They are going to go full up-tempo air raid system. And so, right? And LSU lost so many players. And then Stingley, we find out the news over the weekend that Stingley's not going to play in the game as well. I said, I have to take the points. And I'm going to sprinkle a little bit on the money line as well. Only game that helped me out on Saturday, but it was big. And 600 plus yards for Costello. And I had to be anti-LSU in game one because, Paul, I mean, it's like, how many guys are they down from last year?
Well,
I know other teams would in that conference who've recruited
still
so
top
well.
Five. A lot of people still had them in the top five.
No, I know. But I mean, when you guys have told us that they're probably down like 17 to 20 points from last year's program. Still in the top five because maybe other teams might not be playing this year at the time anyway.
But it was Miss State, though. I mean, you're at home.
No, it was.
And Miss State hasn't done anything. And Moorhead was a disappointment.
I will tell you, if this was a different team in the SEC, not with Mike Leach and not with KJ Costello, I don't think I would have done it. But because it was, I thought it was a perfect combination with that head coach and this quarterback who can play against a team that lost everybody from a year ago, 623 yards passing. This was Mike Leach. This is good. His press conferences on, you know, Saturday and Sunday need to be aired nationally. This is Mike Leach on the field talking after the game.
It's a great day for you, huh?
That's it's better than average, I'll tell you that. This stadium, there's a lot of ghosts in this stadium, and we played LSU because, you know, New England, Green Bay, and the Chiefs had somebody scheduled, so we played these guys. But I'm really proud of our guys. I thought we played real well. I thought we stuck in there during tough times and won the game.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, right off the bat. Most passing yards in SEC history for Costello.
First time it's ever happened. History of that conference. And then you have this, the tweet from Chris Felica, and just some of the nuggets on the Oklahoma loss again.
Well, what was the LSU thing? The defending champ hadn't lost season opener since 98, and they haven't lost a home opener since the 70s? That was 78, I think? Or 74, the defending champ hadn't lost at home since, I think that's what it was.
And K-State is the third team to upset the same team in consecutive years as at least a 20-point underdog. The other two, 2013, 2014, Arizona, which beat Oregon. I bet Arizona the second time they played, they were 20 and 23-point dogs. And 91 Central Michigan in that time. They beat Michigan State back-to-back as 20 and 21.5-point dogs. And what you see is what you get with Lincoln Riley. I don't care how great this guy is as an offensive coach. It's the same story now going in year four. Same thing every single year.
Well, I can't put it on him. I mean, they keep hiring defensive, no matter who the defensive coordinator is. I mean, where's the talent? What's the scheme?
He's in charge.
Not on the defense. I mean, anyways, it's unacceptable. You can't just, it's like Dan Quinn. You can't just keep bringing in defensive coordinator. No matter who they bring in, the defense still is atrocious. But to lose that game, period, you're up 35-14 late in the third quarter. And then Rattler was awesome, and then he starts throwing interceptions, which, you know, his Heisman odds were ridiculous. The guy's 10-1 to win the Heisman, never played a game before.
Sure.
But it's just completely unacceptable how bad the Oklahoma defense is.
Maybe you just say, I'm going to concentrate more on recruiting that side of the ball and bring in better players, because at this point, with my eyes closed, I can get the best offensive players in the country. And by the way, I can also develop them better than any other coach in the country, and just spend more time on defense overall, recruiting, development, getting players better. It's the same thing every single year. And to lose, by the way, the K-State, K-State, seven guys out.
Yeah, you're right.
We found that out on Saturday.
Yeah, I see your point.
Because of the COVID.
Yeah, fair points. You're right. What a disaster for the Big 12. Imagine if Texas would have gone down and they should have lost.
Should have lost that game.
Down two scores late, onside kick works, and they win.
I want to tell you that I firmly believe what Urban Meyer said after the loss is absolutely true, but I can't do it. Because Urban Meyer said that that's it. They're not going to make the playoff. You can write them off. we've been paying attention to this stuff now for too many years, right? You can't write off Oklahoma. If they come back and win every single game, you're going to tell me the committee's not going to say, look at this. Look at how good this team is right now. They'll get past this loss.
What was his reason? People aren't sick and tired of the defense and same old, same old?
Probably too much to overcome. Bad loss like this, second consecutive year to K-State. I think it was Stuart Mandel who pointed out, you know what? You had a bad loss against Va Tech in 2014. A really bad loss. And you made the playoff.
Yep, as high as 16-1 on the money line. They get them again. It was a revenge game. They're blowing them out. Oh, my God, and they lose everything. How about the Georgia Southern game? Oh, how about that finish?
Nuts.
The kid hits from 53 for Louisiana.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, It was like 35% on the year. Nails it.
And how about the get out game? Troy playing at BYU.
Yep.
I'll tell you, BYU's damn good.
I was going to say that. What's going to happen when they go undefeated? What are they going to do with them? Because that's going to happen.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
I mean, 48-7,
yep.
That game was actually, 24-7, I believe, at halftime. And Troy, they put something together right before half. And Troy's, they've been a good program over the years, bowl team. But BYU, to take out the two teams they have in the first couple of games they played, man, is that impressive. Remember, Kenny White had them like number 19 overall, I think, to begin the season. He was higher than them than anybody else that we know of, I think.
Yeah, and a great job by Miami, too. I thought it was a bad spot. You said, no worry about it, rivalry game. Pat Forty had a great – I mean, Florida State's a basketball school. How about that program? Oh. What has happened to that program? That's another disgrace. That is an abomination.
That could never happen.
What's happened to Florida State?
Yep. Cool. All right, I should say that should never happen. Miami's one of the best stories in college football so far this year.
King's a stud.
King certainly helps, yeah. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We will run down the line moves and the bad beats from over the weekend, including this. Seriously, one of the worst beats on a season-long player prop you will ever hear about. Details coming up next. There's always room to improve your sports betting IQ, and VSiN is here to help you bet smarter. Start your 7-day risk-free trial and place your next bet with confidence. Sign up today. Here is what you're going to get. Point Spread Weekly, the digital betting guide with NFL power ratings and consensus picks from our experts, 24/7 live video streaming with full replays of all VSiN shows, the college football betting guide with previews, predictions, and betting strategies, daily emails with best bets from all our shows, hosts, and guests, and plus, you can access our parlay calculator, prop bet search engine, and pick tracker on vsin.com. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to start your risk-free trial today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Let's do this. Here we go. Win-lose.
Yeah.
Rough night.
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night. How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money looks back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
All right, we start with the bad beats. This is all Friday night in baseball alone. Mariners +185 and plus the run and a half. Led 1-0 in the bottom of the 10th. The A's get 3, including a 2-run walk-off to win 3-1 and somehow cover the run line. Red Sox Braves under 10. 2-1 in the bottom of the 8th. 8-7 final. 8-7 and 11. Are you kidding me? 2-1 in the bottom of the 8th. The total's 10. Not even close. Game 2 of a doubleheader. Giants +190. How about the Brewers backing into the playoffs? Well, the Phillies, I mean, please. Giants +1. This one did them in. They looked like they were going to sweep the doubleheader. They led 5-3 bottom of the 7th. 3-run walk-off for the Friars.
Well, that was a killer, as was yesterday. I mean, it came down to the 9th inning, and boy, oh boy.
Yep.
Brutal.
Pirates +220. Led 3-1 in the 9th. Indians rallied to win 4-3. Astros 170 and under 9. Led 3-2, bottom of the 9th, one strike away. Lost 5-4 and 10. The Falcons laying 2.5. Led by 16 with 6 minutes left. Lost the game. Georgia Southern Moneyline +375 against Louisiana. Snyder from 53 yards at the gun. Nailed it. Louisiana wins. Texas Tech Moneyline 6-1 against Texas. Up 15 late. Lost 63-56. And here's your tease. What's the guy's name?
Todd.
Todd sent this in. Condolences, Todd. He bet Trey Turner's season RBIs under 40.5. Turner needed 7 yesterday. 7 RBIs to beat him. He had 7 RBIs. I can't believe it. He needed seven RBIs in one game to beat him.
I can only laugh because otherwise I don't know how to react.
I can't.
He's been betting sports for 30 years.
Yep.
He said one of the worst I've ever taken in my life.
It absolutely is. Yep. Bad for the books. Miss State LSU over. 49 up to 57 at Circa. Iowa State plus three, went off a three-point choice. Beat TCU by three. Yep. Florida International Liberty over 57 up to 16.5, 36-34. Oklahoma, Kansas State over 57 up to 61.5, 38-35. West Virginia, Oklahoma State under 54 down to 49, 27-13. Louisville, Pitt over 51 up to 54. No, by my mistake. I thought that was Lewsome. Georgia Southern plus 19 down to 11.5. Titans, Vikings over 46 up to 49.5, 31-30. Bears plus 3.5 down to 2.5. They won outright. Colts, look ahead line from 7 up to 12. Routed the Jets. Win some. Hoffenheim, yesterday in Bundesliga, beat Bayern Munich. They were plus 950 at the Westgate. Kansas State money line, 16-1. Mississippi State money line, plus 465. Roy Val by submission, 5-1. And to win in round two, plus 550 at Circa. Marquez by decision, 5-1. Adesanya to win in round two, plus 850. Great job by Lou Finicaro this week, too, by the way. Lose some. Duke from 9 down to 4, lost by 18. Louisville plus 5.5 down to 2.5. Alabama from 21 up to 29. No good. Georgia Tech Syracuse under 58 down to 52, 37-20. Florida Ole Miss under 64 down to 59.5. Florida almost got it themselves. Kansas from 20 down to 16, routed by Baylor. Iowa State TCU under 49 down to 43, not even close. Kentucky from 10 down to 6.5. Lost by 16. Central Florida from 23 up to 27, won by 23. Cardinals, Lions over, 51 up to 55, 26-23 Detroit. Giants from 6 down to 3, routed at home by the Niners. Texans from 6 down to 4, 28-21. Couple videos at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Video number one, you can see where this is going. Laid out over the middle, Ronnie Lott. Kid's on his bike. They throw the ball at him. The duck comes in and lays him out. And the mom's filming the whole thing. She can see it coming. I mean, she is just...
The kid could not.
Right, yes. Look at that shot.
Had no idea. Oh!
Good hip check. Very good. And one more dog video. Hey, okay. On a diet here. Got the food in a cup. Put more out. More. Okay. All right, now you just... This is ridiculous. He's going to get, what, two? You're going to give the... Okay, now here we go. All right, here, lunch, buddy. Here you go.
Hungry pal?
Yeah. We're cutting back a little bit. You're portly. And you get two. And here comes the expression, the face. Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. Not happy at all. Oh, he comes running after
him. Hell yeah.
Too. And he goes chasing after the owner after he sees what he gets the portion. Oh, my God. That is too good. There it is. That's win-lose. Always an eclectic mix.
So I'm looking right now. Six teams in the NFL are 3-0 to the over. And I will give you how many points on average they're going over so far in all three of their games. The Saints, 11.3 on average to the over. The Raiders, 11.8. Bills, 13.8 points per game to the over. The Seahawks, 14.8. Atlanta, 16.5. And after last night, 37-30 Green Bay, they are 3-0 to the over, Paulie, and they're going over on average by 20 points per game. This offense.
Well, guess who they played coming up? They play Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. What's?
What do you think he's going to do to them? Oh, my God. Good couple good tweets and emails as well. FTM at VSiN.com. I'm like the other people. I didn't even bother to look. Can you imagine what these in-play tickets paid? The Bears down big again? Now, they probably say it just happened, but still, I mean, the Bears in play. How about the Rams in play? Down 25.
That's a good one.
That almost, how about the, I bet this wasn't even offered. How about Kansas State in play? They're down three touchdowns in the third quarter on the road.
Yeah, that probably wasn't even on the board. I'll give you another one. I guarantee, well, I can't guarantee, I'm not going to do Charles Barkley here, but what do you think Texas Tech was against Texas?
What Texas was to come back?
Because
that game was over.
Yesterday, when the Cowboys had the ball and they were down 38-31 and they were driving a little bit, I couldn't even get an in-play on that game. Because at some point when there's only, like maybe a minute or so left in the game, they're going to take it down anyway. But then when the the numbers are going to be like, the margins looking at 15, 17, 20, whatever it is, they'll just say, no, the numbers don't even spit it out that high. But just it's like you're never safe in this league. Nope. So I was
He's at 98, 99% win probability, and you're blowing games.
Somebody here at the South Point said it yesterday, and I think we've been saying this for a couple of years, but he's spot on. He's like, you know, the NFL's now turned into the NBA. No lead's ever safe in the NBA.
Yeah.
You could be up by 17 in the late third quarter. Yeah, it's not safe. Same thing now in the NFL.
Yep.
By the way, like last night, great job by the Heat. They finally just took care of business. Down by six, they go on that 26 run to finally say, okay, we got to finish you off.
That was strong. What a run that was. My God. First time in 9 years the Browns are above 500? Is that true? How could that be? Oh, that's crazy.
Sounds about right to me.
Oh, man. Yeah. The Jets haven't led yet at any point this year. Cleveland's finally above 500. Bears pulling a rabbit out of the hat again. Quinn's got to be fired. I don't know what. I still can't figure out what Doug Peterson doing. What was Doug Peterson doing? What was he thinking?
You know, that was actually going to be, before the penalty, that was a 59-yard field goal. We got a tweet on that saying maybe Peterson actually had more confidence in Elliott from 59.
And doesn't trust Wentz at all?
Wentz at that point, yep. They brought in...
run something safe, a bubble screen, something, a draw. I mean, that you can't just sit there and assume the guy's going to hit from 58. Then the penalty, and he has to bunt. Tie. God.
Yep. Here's the tweet from Siciliano. That's only after the first three games.
Oh, okay.
So they haven't been like 2-1 since 2011.
Okay.
Which I think makes it even worse, to be honest.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, God.
And that in this day and age where you need to have, you know, good quarterback play and you're going to chuck it all around the yard, as we said after last week, the win in week two for the Browns, you are a running football team. I honestly don't know if Baker Mayfield can play or not. I don't know if he's any good.
Yep.
That draft class, Lamar Jackson going, what, last pick first round, and Josh Allen now clearly the two best quarterbacks in that first round.
What a job by him. Four touchdowns and 300 yards again. Boy, does he keep plays alive. Sometimes it can be a little, you know, it's like watching a train wreck.
Of course.
But this is...
I have updated MVP numbers.
He's in the mix, absolutely. Now, Mike Freeman's got to calm down. It's still... Come on, Wilson, 14 touchdowns, one interception.
What did he say?
Well, after the game... Well, Wilson had it happen, I guess. But after the game, he said Allen's the MVP. Come on.
No, right now, it's clearly Russ.
Wilson should have had six touchdowns.
Yes.
And he has to, you're right, he has to do that every game because the defense is so bad. But 14 touchdowns, one pick, and the pick wasn't his fault.
Correct.
Locked in.
And should have 15 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Easy. But Allen's 12-1 at FanDuel. Russ is the shortest shot on the board. He's down to 2-1 right now. And a huge move on Aaron Rodgers. 2 weeks ago, he was 17-1. Rodgers right now tied with Lamar and Mahomes at 6-1. No, I mean, it's 3 weeks into the season.
Yeah.
If Kyler Murray, boy, he'll probably drop a little bit from yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Passes. It's just like it was one right after another. I think he could have had, he easily could have had four INTs in that game.
I don't know where he's looking. I mean, I don't know where he's throwing the ball. These guys are covered. You're throwing into coverage there, and it's a Detroit defense. Come on. Can't happen.
Yep. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The great Michael Lombardi is going to join the program next. We will get into who he likes in tonight's epic matchup, Monday Night Football. More on Doug Peterson. How about Mike McCarthy not taking a timeout before halftime? What was he doing? That's coming up with Michael Lombardi next year on Follow the Money.